We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2. I don't know if there's anybody who picks up the sheet with our weekly scripture readings on it or not. If you are one of those who picks up a copy or likes a copy of Sunday morning scripture reading schedule. New ones that begin in November are up here on the pulpit. Help yourself. And I think the ones that are in use go through this month, and then you'll need a new one if you're in the habit of using those. My text this morning is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. But I just feel like it might be difficult just to read those verses and get into the message without reading the whole chapter. So I want us to take the time this morning and read Ephesians chapter 2, taking our text from verse 11 through 13. I want to preach on the subject, the way we were, the way we are, and which way are you? The way we were, the way we are, in which way are you this morning? And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. This is the letter to the Ephesian church that was started during the ministry of the Apostle Paul on his missionary journeys. This is a New Testament assembly, real group of people that Paul invested much time in. He invested much of his life in. Big part of his ministry was dedicated to the Ephesian church, the Ephesian area, and in and around the Ephesian church. And we see on Wednesday nights that John was most likely located in Ephesus at the time he was exiled, and at the time he was sent to Patmos, was most likely working in and through the church of the Ephesians and in the areas and churches around Ephesus. In chapter 1, he praises the grace of God. That's what we've been doing on Sunday nights, praising the grace of God. And he speaks of the grace of God and giving God glory, not being offended, not being mad about it, but rejoicing in the fact that God, in his grace, has chosen a people to save, show favor to. And if we can say we're one of those, we should rejoice. Praise God for his grace. He prayed that the people of Ephesus might feel the power of God in their life. The power of God as it was demonstrated in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How it was demonstrated in Christ being seated at the right hand of the Father. The power of God as it was demonstrated in verse 21, 22, and 23 of chapter 1. That speaks of where Christ is right now and what Christ is doing right now. Those are two things that God has revealed to us that by and large, I think, go unnoticed, unappreciated. We know right now where Jesus is. And he's not sitting idly by the right hand of the Father, twiddling his thumbs with nothing to do. But we know what Jesus Christ is doing right now. And it's described for us in verse 20, 21, 22, and 23. He's in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. To make it simple, he's ruling and reigning right now. He's already seated as the king. He's already seated at the right hand of the Father. And he's already controlling and ruling and reigning in the affairs of man. And one day he will be here literally. He'll be here bodily, ruling and reigning from Jerusalem. He goes into chapter 2, our reading today, still speaking about grace. Still speaking about that salvation is by grace. The focus in chapter 2 may be Gentiles, because this is a Gentile congregation, a Gentile assembly. And there is much distinguishment between Jew and Gentile laid before us in Ephesians chapter 2. But we want to look at verse 11 through 13 in particular. First of all, at the way we were. The way we were. I think it is very important for God's people to remember the way we were. I believe we will appreciate grace more, praise grace more, understand grace more, if we always remind ourselves what we were before God came, made His Son real to us, and saved our soul. I think it is the tendency for the average Christian, after having been saved a while, to kind of lose track of where they came from. Kind of feel they're special. As was spoken of in Sunday school, or entitled, deserving. God help us to remember where we came from as God's people. In verse number 11, He says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles." He calls them to remember what they were. What they were in time past. In verse number 12, He continues with that thought. "Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles," verse 12, "that at that time ye were," then He lists some things that they were before they were saved by grace. These things are applicable to everybody here who names the name of Christ. If your testimony is you weren't these things, you weren't that bad, then I don't know how secure you can be in your salvation. Because in true biblical salvation, God brings the conviction of sin. God brings us to repentance. God brings us to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know that anybody ever gets saved. In fact, I'll just go as far as say, I don't think anybody ever does really get saved without God first showing them they're lost, their sin, their spiritual condition. And He says in verse number 12, "In times past, ye were." This is a picture of us. Before the Lord saved us, we were without Christ. We weren't born Christians. We weren't born believers in Jesus Christ. We were born sinners, fully defective and dysfunctional because of sin. And before the Lord came to us and saved our souls, we were without Christ. What a mess we were without Christ. What a mess a person is in if they're outside of Jesus Christ. We were without Christ. We were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Means they were without a country. They were without a spiritual country. Gentiles were outside the commonwealth of Israel. He says, we were strangers from the covenants of promise. All the covenants that you find in the scriptures contain promises from God. And before the Lord saved these people at Ephesus, they were without Christ, they were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and they were strangers from those covenants of promise. They didn't have any of those covenants of promise to lean upon, to look to take comfort in. They had no promises. What a state. Goes on to say in verse number 12, they were without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. Before the Lord saved my unworthy soul, I had no hope. I had no promises. I had no national relationship with Him. I was without Christ. And if you're here and you're truly saved, born again, child of God, that's a description of where you once were. You were all of these things. That's the way we were. not only with no hope, and not only without Christ, but before the Lord saved these folks and before the Lord saves us, we were without God. We may have thought we believed in God. We may have claimed to believe in God. We may have given good lip service to believing in God. But before the Lord saved us by His grace, we were without God. The only way you can know God, the only way you can know the love of God, the only way you can love God is to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Those that are without Christ are actually without God. Of course, in their depravity and their deadness and in their spiritual condition, they can't see that. They'll fight you tooth and nails and declare they believe in God and they worship God and all is well between them and God. But without Christ, you're outside of God. Without Christ, you're without God. Verse 1 through 3 of this text places some more things in the list of the way we were. Verse 1, we were dead in trespasses and sins before the Lord saved us. Not sick, not poor, not facing great difficulty. We were dead in trespasses and sins. The only hope anybody has of salvation is being made alive in Jesus Christ. We were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 2, in times past you walked according to the course of this world. That's where we were. According to the prince of the power of the devil. That's the devil. That's where we were. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's what we once were. Among whom also ye all had our conversation in time past, the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's the way we were. That's the way we were. If that's the way we still are, we've got serious cause for concern. We're looking at things that describe the way we were, the Word of God, the inspired Word of God, through the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians, calls us to remember what we were in times past, to remember what we were at that time. We were without Christ. But then in verse number 13, he lays before us the way we are, if we're saved. If we're truly born again child of God. We were without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God, dead in our trespasses and sins, following the ways of the world and the lusts of the flesh, even serving Satan and the ways of the world. But he says in verse number 13, But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off. See, now in verse number 13, he's talking about the way we are. We were all of those things that we've just touched base on and many other things you could glean from this passage of Scripture. But now, we're in Christ. That's the position of somebody who's truly saved. They're in Christ. They're not in themselves. They're not in their works. They're not in their righteousness. They're not in their goods. They're in Christ. That's the way we are. Not only are we in Christ, but verse number 13 says, we are made nigh by the blood of Christ. There's a lot of those that are nigh, those that are afar in this passage of Scripture. Most of the time, the nighs are those who are Jews. They were closer to God. They had God's word. They had God's commandments. Those who are far off are the Gentiles. But here he's talking about saved people. Gentiles, I'm sure, as the context reveals, but more particularly, the sinners who have been saved by the grace of God, by now being in Christ, they are brought nigh, they are brought close. They are brought into relationship with God. We were once dead in our trespasses and sins, but now in Christ, we're no longer far off from God, but we're brought nigh. We're brought into relationship with God. Verse 13, or verse 14, for he, Christ, is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. We're in Christ, we're made nigh by the blood of Christ, and right now, he is our peace. He is our peace. Verse 5 and 6 gives a couple additional things to the way we are now as we're in Christ. Even when we were dead in our sins, God, referenced in verse number 4, hath quickened us together with Christ. So, the way we are now, we're quickened. We've referenced that word, the definition of that word, several times of late. To be quickened means made alive, alive in Christ. We were dead, but now that we're in Christ, we're quickened. We're made alive. We are alive, the scriptures tell us, in Christ. And he has raised us up together. That's what we are now. Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. That is plainly laid before us in chapter 1. That is plainly laid before us in Psalms 110. Psalms 110 is one of the most quoted Old Testament references in the New Testament. Because Psalms 110 speaks of God, the Lord, said to my Lord, Jesus, as David speaks, sit thou on my right hand till I make your enemies thy footstool. So Christ is at the right hand of the Father. And those of us who are saved, verse 6 says, he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. It is though we are seated in heaven right now because we're in Christ. Because we know Christ, because we believe in Christ, because he is our Lord and Savior. As we think about the passages of Scripture that talk about justification, sanctification, glorification, Romans 8 in particular, the thought is that glorification is already realized. We're already glorified. We're not in heaven, but in Christ, who is in heaven, we're as good as there. We're already glorified. That one day there will be a more realized definition to that thought. But we are in Christ. We are made nigh by the blood. He is our peace. We are quickened. We are raised up. We are seated in the heavenly places in Christ. So that's the way we were. That's the way we are. The question I want to ask tonight, not tonight, I'll probably not ask it tonight, this morning, is which way are you? To a child of God, they can think about the way they were, dead in the trespass and sins. Think about the way they are, alive in Christ, already seated in the right hand of the Father in heaven, in Christ. But which way are you this morning? Which way are you? I was listening to a sermon this week. The man was in this portion of Scripture. And he quoted, I forget the man's name that he was quoting, but he quoted a man's summary of verse number 12. I want to try to quote that summary best I can that he gave as I listened. Is this you? Which way are you in this morning? A good summary of verse number 12. A lost person is Christless, stateless, friendless, godless, hopeless. Where are you this morning? If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can't speak about what you once were. And you can't speak about what you are now being different. If you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've never been born again, you've never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of your soul, you are Christless, stateless, friendless, godless, hopeless. You're all those things that are described in verse number 12. A person before they say, before salvation, they're without Christ, they're aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise. They have no hope. They're without God in the world. Does that describe you? Nobody knows what you're thinking. Nobody can read your mind. Your thoughts can't be projected on the wall of the sanctuary. So I ask you to be honest with yourself. Have you ever received the Lord Jesus Christ, plus nothing and minus nothing, as your Lord and Savior? Have you ever believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and experienced the wonder of salvation? Can you say today, that's what I was, this is what I am? But in being completely honest with yourself, nobody else knowing your thoughts and response, are you Christless, without Christ, stateless, without country, spiritually speaking, friendless, a stranger from God, godless, hopeless? I want to say to you, in response to that question, which way are you? You either that description that we've just summarized from verse number 12, or you can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, be saved, and know your past from your present. To you who do not know they're saved, have no assurance of salvation, do not have that thought of the way you were and the way you are, and you have difficulty answering the question, which way are you? Verse 8, 9, and 10 has God's word for you. Verse number 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. I say to you who have difficulty answering that question, which way are you? who in being honest with themselves have never been saved, never trusted in Christ. I want to tell you, salvation is by grace. It's a free gift from God. Chapter 1 praises the grace of God. His unmerited favor. You don't have to concern yourself with earning. You don't have to concern yourself with doing. You don't have to concern yourself with working. You don't have to concern yourself with praying through or hanging in long enough. Salvation is a gift from God. If you're going to be saved, you're going to be saved by grace. It's going to be God's unmerited favor that is shown to you. Not only are you saved, or will you be saved by grace, but if you're going to be saved, it's going to be through faith. Through faith. For by grace ye are saved through faith. Faith, what's he talking about? He's talking about believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Talking about seeing Christ as your sufficient Savior, your sufficient sacrifice. We're talking about seeing and hearing the gospel message that Jesus Christ died upon the cross, and he died upon the cross with the intent of saving sinners. If you want to answer that question, which way are you, in the affirmative way, I'm a child of God, that's what I was, now this is what I am, praise God. You must understand, salvation's by grace. And it is received through faith. There is no salvation. I can't make that narrow enough. There is no salvation outside of Christ. There's nothing one can do. There's nothing one can believe. There's nowhere someone can go. There's no alternative routes. The way that leads to destruction is broad. The way that leads unto life is narrow. Many find the broad way, but few find the narrow way, because that's the only way. I praise God. I remember what I was. I praise God that I'm not what I was, and I know what I am in Christ. And I know you who are truly saved join with me in that praise. But which way are you this morning? Salvation's by grace, and it's only through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're toying with this thought now. Okay. That's what a Christian was. This is what a Christian is. I don't have that. I am probably what verse 12 describes. Salvation's a gift of God. So what must I do then? There was a man who asked Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? The answer was, believe. Put your faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I just don't think it can be that simple. I just don't think it can be without me doing something, without me changing, without me reforming. Well, he says we're saved by grace, we're saved through faith. Then he goes on to accentuate the fact that it's not by works. It can't be earned, it can't be deserved, it can't be accomplished. So salvation is by grace. It's a free gift of God. It is received through faith, through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not by works. But the Lord saves us and demonstrates that we were created unto good works. not by good works. That's a part of understanding real salvation. You know what you were. You know what you are. The change was made by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Plus nothing, minus nothing. Christ and Christ alone. And now that you know you're saved, you feel that leadership of the Spirit of God upon your life, indicating that you are saved because you weren't saved by works, but you are saved unto. You have that desire to serve the Lord, that desire to do those things that are pleasing to Him. And God, to one who is truly saved, has before ordained. Before the foundation of the world, before He saved our soul, before we came to know Jesus Christ as our Savior, God chose to save our unworthy souls and ordained us to walk. Ordained how we would walk or should walk in evidence of real salvation. And I hope that's not confusing. You're saved by grace. It's a free gift of God, unmerited favor. Through faith, by putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing all that He did upon the cross, He did for you. Not by works, not by your goodness, not by anything you could do. But you'll know you're saved by grace through faith when you have that desire and you realize you were created unto, not by works, but unto good works. And God hath before ordained. So how does this message apply to you this morning? Do you remember the way you were? The wickedness, the unrighteousness, the ungodliness, the deadness. Do you remember you were without Christ? You were an alien. You were a stranger. You had no hope. You were without God. Do you remember when you were dead in your trespasses and sins? Can you honestly say, by the grace of God, you've received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, your new creature in Christ. And now you're in Christ. Now you're made nigh by the blood. Now He is your peace. Now you're quickened. Now you're raised up. Now you're seated in the heavenly places. Can you sing hallelujah? As verse number 3 of chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And He goes on to lift up His grace and lift up the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God. Can you remember the way you were? Can you see how you are now? And then lift up and praise God for His grace. Give glory to His grace. God help us. But how does this message apply to you this morning? When that question is asked, which way are you? Do you know what you once were? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Or do you need the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior? I say to you, my friend, by grace, God's unmerited favor, you're saved. Through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that faith is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works. Do you want to have a past that you can look back upon? That's what I was. And do you want to have the assurance of the present as it's related in our text? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together.